Heavenly Father, I come by the blood of Jesus. I confess my sins. I thank you for the privilege and the honor, Lord, to stand once again before your people to share your word, and also for standing under the covering of our fathers today. I look to you for fresh grace and mercy to minister as an oracle of God, that you cause the word to go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten revelation knowledge of the word that goes forth, our emotions that are controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also pray, Lord God Almighty, as the word goes forth, let it bring forth healing in our lives. Let it strengthen and encourage us to continue to run the race that I've set before us. I see fresh mercy and grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Lord, we give you praise, glory, honor for all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message today is Following the Lord with a Perfect Heart. Let's say it together, Following the Lord with a Perfect Heart. It's very important for us to follow God, but with a perfect heart. Many follow God and they don't follow him with a perfect heart. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked back in the Gospels. He said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself. So they were following physically and they were not following with their hearts. He said, these people, they draw nigh unto me, but their heart is far from me. Praise the Lord. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Today we are going to look at the lives of two kings. A king called Amaziah. Say Amaziah and King Saul. Say Amaziah and King Saul. We spent quite some time looking at the life of Amaziah. You know, these are examples in the Bible of those that initially followed God. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So all these stories we see in the Bible, I'm giving the premise for what we are talking about today. You know, the types and shadows that were written. Bible says they are written for our own admonition. Are you following me? So that we too, the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Praise the Lord. Also scripture, second, I'd like to open 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul was talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read on verse 15. Verse 15 talks about Timothy. He says that, and that thou from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So it's important for us to know the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Next verse. So next verse says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in what? Righteousness. Say all Scripture. Both Leviticus, Deuteronomy, everything in the Bible is profitable. And it says that the man of God may be perfect. Say, may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God wants us to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So you read the life of David. Read the life of Amaziah, Saul. You see the mistakes they made. You see where they went astray. And then you take the good things and you leave the bad things. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. This was when Paul was recounting the account of them when they left Egypt and they went to the promised land. You know, on their way to Moses. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. So Paul was saying here, don't let us be idolaters. And we know that New Testament idolatry is covetousness. We all know that. In verse 14, praise the Lord. What does it say? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee, say flee. Idolatry, say flee. He didn't say bind the devil. There are two places that I'm sure of in the Bible. Bible talks about flee. It says flee every appearance of war. Flee from fornication. This second place says flee. I say flee idolatry. Why? Because the consequences of these two things are grievous. If you don't flee fornication, you'll be tempted. A person is tempted. The Bible says that every sin that a man commits is without the body. But he that sins against, his body. So we have the example in David. And we know why David, you know, the Bible says by the time he was old, he said that, you know, 70, he was weak, he couldn't do anything again. So the Bible says, flee idolatry. Why? Because the second flee you see is flee idolatry, which is covetousness. The end of idolatry is destruction. Praise the Lord. We'll see as we continue. So these things you are talking about, where you know about Saul, we mentioned it, but I want to concentrate on Amaziah. Are you following me? These two kings that we're looking at today, they all started well. Say they started well. You know, the Bible spoke about Saul. He said that he was when they chose him, he didn't believe he went to go and hide himself. You know, Bible says that when Saul was, Samuel was rebuking him, he said that when you were small in your own eyes. So it started well. Somewhere along the line, something happened. We are going to see what happened. And basically, it's from our title. We need to follow God, you know, fully unto the end. Praise the Lord. With an honest heart, with a perfect heart. Praise the Lord. So both kings started very well. But somewhere along the line, things occurred and somehow the earth from the path of righteousness. So let's start by reading from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Because both of them, I was focusing on Amaziah. He went into idolatry. And then we know Saul ended up at the witch of Endor. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. What does it say? It says, for rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. And stubbornness is as what? Iniquity and what? Idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. That was what the pronouncement or the judgment that came upon Saul. So they started very well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Please put it there for those that peradventure don't know, just to put the scripture behind it. It says that mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Covetousness is what? So covetousness in the New Testament is idolatry. So in the Old Testament, they will bow down to worship idols, graven images. But in the New Testament, it is covetousness. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. We don't need to turn there. You can put it on the board. It says the same thing. Talks about an idolater. It says who is a covetous person. Praise the Lord. So, because of time, let's go and look at the life of Amaziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 to 2 to start with. You see, I read this scripture some time ago and then it just struck me. When God was describing Amaziah, we'll see. As I go, and I began to ask, Lord, why? Why? These things are written for our own admonition, to whom the ends of the world have come. So let's read from verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. So the mother was an Israelite. Praise the Lord. And, say verse 2, and he did that which was right where in the sight of the Lord. But, say but, that's a very big but. But not with a perfect heart. So it means you can do something right for some time. It will be okay outwardly, but with a heart that is not perfect. Then that has been told there, that a perfect heart doesn't mean that he's doing everything right all the time. It's an upright heart. You know the story about Abimelech in the Bible. We'll see, we'll define that as we continue. Say, but he didn't do it with a perfect heart. I went to check properly. Bible says that he reigned for 29 years, 25, 29. That means he died at the age of 54. So something around 10 years, there about to 15, if you check, you know, when the other king, we'll see later on, he went to fight the king of Israel. You know, Bible says he lived 15 years after the king of Israel. You know, about 10, 15 years, there about. By the time he was 39, 40, his heart has started deteriorating. Praise the Lord. I will not be a passion. Let's look at a similar description in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3, because it's the same story, same man, but the book of Kings describes it and makes it, you know, clearer to us. What does it say? And he talking about that same guy, Amaziah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all the things as Joash his father did. Let me just take us back for a second. Joash is the guy that was under Jehoiada. That was this guy's father, Joash. He was the guy that they took at the age of 7 years old and put on the throne. And the Bible says, as long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash, his father, behaved very well. But you know one thing that happened, just to mention, because I may forget as time goes on. You know, the sad thing is this. This guy, this father, I find he was the one that killed Zechariah in the temple. I mentioned that Jesus Christ spoke about. He said God will judge them from the sins of Abel to Zechariah slaughtered, you know, between the hand. So what I want us to see is this. This guy, they conspired against him, his father, and they killed him. And the same thing happened to this guy at the end of his life. The Bible says that as a flying bird or a wandering something, a curse costless shall not come. See, it's not the will of God for Amaziah to die the way his father died. Because you've learned from his father's example. But he presented a landing site for Satan. So the same that happened to his father became generational. And his own servants too killed him. I just want to mention so I don't forget. We'll see as we continue. So, David, you know, 2 Kings talked about David. In the book of 2 Chronicles, it says that he did not serve God with a perfect heart. In the book of Kings, it says that he did not serve God like David, his father. So, David in the Old Testament became the plumb line that God used to mention people. Actually, if you study carefully in the Bible, but God, there are three of, so to speak, of whom God swore to. This is not part of my message. God swore to Abraham. God swore to David. And he swore to Lord Jesus Christ. And said, that peace forever after the all of makes it. Those are like three poplars that Jacob set before. So there was a time it was Abraham. It was the father of faith. So God also swore to David. So at this time, you see, David was a plumb line. That's why you can see. He said he did not behave very well like David, his father. And when God was going to choose David and remove Saul, he said, I have found the man, you know, after my own, who will do all of my will. So David became the measuring standard at that time for somebody who had a perfect heart. And we know that David was not perfect. He made mistakes. But we'll see why he made the mistakes. But let's keep looking at the man called Amaziah. Praise the Lord. So what is a... I already mentioned Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Say, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all of my will. Of course, that was why Saul was rejected. You know, he did some of the things God told him to do. He didn't do everything. I win. So let's look at what is the perfect heart. A perfect heart is an upright heart that is constantly, always willing to do the will of God. Let's say it together. A perfect heart is a heart that is constantly, always willing to do the will of God. You see, what does that tell us? That is, the person is always in his heart willing to do. He has not done it all, but is always willing to do the will of God. That is how God described David. He said, David is a man after my own heart who shall fulfill all of my will. So a perfect heart or an upright heart is a heart that is constantly, always, say always, willing to do the will of God. God will have mercy on us. So I put it here, I said, whenever we gradually stop, because it's a gradual process, whenever we gradually stop constantly willing to do the will of God, then the heart starts to deteriorate. Our heart will not deteriorate in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, let's make some things clear, because we are reading from the Old Testament, so we can get the sense of how it applies to us. Are you with me? So because nobody will wake up today and go and be bind to idols. A normal Christian will not do that. So praise the Lord. So what does it say? What is the will of God for us in this present day? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Let's the second part of it that you should abstain from fornication. So for this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification. So what sanctification is he talking about? 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read again. And the very God of peace sanctify you, say wholly, that is completely, and I pray God your whole spirit. So now start talking about the sanctification. That scripture said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now if we take that word sanctification and bring it here, say, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Go back to 25. First, yeah. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you what? Holy. And I pray God your whole spirit, say spirit, and soul, and body be preserved blameless, say unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that must happen before Jesus Christ returns. It's something that must happen. So that for us is the will of God. We need to be clear about it. When I talked about David is a man after God's heart who will do all of his will. So this is the will of God for us. So we don't begin to think, okay, it's doing this, it's doing that. This is the specific for every Christian in this end time. Praise the Lord. So now let's look at Amaziah and look at his life initially when he became king. Bible says he started reigning at the age of 25, which was good. He wasn't too young, because in the Old Testament, the priests were supposed to start work at 25 and they would retire at 50. You go and check in the book of Numbers and so. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, read from verses 3 to 4. These are the things I itemized some of the things that I began to do in verse 3. Let's read. Now, it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants, that had what? Killed the king, his father. Now, verse 4 is very critical. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Praise the Lord. This man got 100%. But see, there's a key here I want us to see. Which, put it back in the verse 3. It says that, okay, no, put verse 4, sorry, back to verse 4. I want to see something here. Verse 4, please. He said, but he slew not the children, but did as it is written in the law, in the law of the book of Moses. Open to Deuteronomy chapter 17. So initially, he kept this commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 17, let's read from verses 14 to set the perimeter of what we're saying. So this is what God told them. So when this guy became a king, he obeyed, he was keeping this law. What did he say? When thou art come unto the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set the king over me, like as all other nations about me. So we're talking about those two kings, Amaziah and Saul. Next verse. That's right. Anyone set any king over you, skip it, less because of time. Let's go to 16. Let's go to 17 because of time. Now shall they multiply wives. Next verse. It said different things you should not do, but this is what I want us to see. This is the aspect I want us to focus on, which applies to us, which is what Amaziah did. The Bible says that those that killed his father, Joah, that conspired against him and slew his father, they assassinated his father. He said when he was going to judge them, he killed them, but did not kill their children. Why? According to the law of Moses. I follow him. So, see what this guy did. Even at this time, so, and it shall be when he seated upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest delivers. Next verse. And he shall be with him and shall read therein all the days, say all the days of his life. All the days of his life, that he may what? Say, learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep his all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So if he doesn't keep it or read, he won't do these things. Next verse, okay. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of it. So why would this marry for 29 years? 29 is too small now. It's too small. 25 plus 29, that at the age of 54. Am I right? Yes. 54. The Bible says, with long life, let us satisfy you and show you my salvation. The Bible says, by reason of strength, you can live to 80. In the Old Testament, after the fall of Noah, God said 120. But this guy started at the age of 25. And he died at the age of 54. He reigned only for 29 years. So sad. So we'll see as we continue. Praise the Lord. So that was the first thing he did. So why did I read all that? That means initially he kept Deuteronomy chapter 17 from verse 17 to the end. He was doing it. That's why he understood what Moses wrote, that his children shall not suffer the sins of your father. So he was keeping it. So if he did that, that means he would do all the other things. He didn't marry many wives. His heart was not lifted up. Praise the Lord. So, but after, like I said, somewhere, because if you look at the story, you're going to have time to turn there. By the time the king of Israel, another king came into power, are you following me? This guy was around 39, 40. Then he went to go and fight with that king. By that time, his heart had deteriorated. So he must have spent like 10 to 13 to 15 years. Are you following me? When things started happening, when he stopped keeping this commandment. So the next thing he did is this. He numbered the people and went to hire soldiers from Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 25, we read from verse 5 to 11. Now, I will read something. Listen very carefully. At this time, it's the thing because it started shaking. It started oscillating. You know why? He numbered the people. That's what David did. So, you see, by this time, you would do what he said. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout Judah and Benjamin. And he what? Numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war. and I could handle the spear and the shield. So you see, the thing we can't do, you know, is still not, you know, is oscillating, so to speak. So, but let's continue reading. Verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he now, after he numbered, why did he number? Why did he go and hire people? Is it because, why did David number the people? Because his confidence was in the mind. That's what Joah said. Why do you want to count these people? He said, it's God that has them. So why did this guy number? So when he numbered, he felt that, this number is not enough to fight. So he went to go and hire people from Israel. Are you with me? Mercenary. No, that's what David did. I keep saying that what David did. That was his sin, the last sin that we know David committed. When there was a plague and people were dying. When your job was saying, why do you want to number? So this guy too did the same thing. So we showed that from his heart started shifting a bit. That he was no longer trusting God. He would not begin to trust in what he had. The number of his army. So when he took the number, it was 300,000. He felt, this one can't work. Let him go and hire people from Israel. So you can see that his heart has started to shift. So the next verse. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. By this time, Ephraim was joined to a high door. God has said, let him alone. You see, God did not want the Judah and Benjamin to partake of the sins of Israel. Because why? Jeroboam had led, and Baasha wasn't there. They had led Israel to sin. But into idolatry, by building the golden calf, one in Dan, one in Bethel. So God was trying to preserve Judah, like he's trying to preserve a set in the church of Christ today. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So that's why you see, not all Israel is Israel. Are you with me? So not all Israel is Israel. So don't say, okay, we are the same. Like that, was Hezekiah that went to go and join Ahab. Jehoshaphat, I went to go and join Ahab. Say that my people and your people are the same. We are not the same, oh. Folks, we are not the same. Bible says, flee idolatry. So idolatry is what separates those in Judah, so to speak, from the rest of Israel that are following after Jeroboam, the feast of Jeroboam. Are you with me? So, but that came a man of God and saying unto him, let not the army of Israel go with thee. But Lord is not with Israel. So, folks, God is not with those that are packing idolatry. Like Jesus Christ said in the book of Revelations, he said that they sacrifice things to idols. Are you following me? So God is not with them. The fact that people are living and they are blessed physically does not mean that God is with them. Just like the Bible says, he gives his rain on the good and the evil. Unbelievers, are you following me? They are living now. Are you following me? But not because we are saying in a negative way, but if somebody dies in that state, if he has everything, where is he going to? He's going to hell. I follow him. Does that mean God's with him? No. So, follow what I'm trying to say. So, next verse. But if thou will go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. So the man gave him straight away. But if you like, go. Next verse. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to. He said, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So it doesn't matter if by you have mistakenly transgressed. Have I break affinity with Ahab. Break affinity with the church that's in idolatry. Forget, you see, the Bible says that you should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. He says that what has light got to do with darkness? So what is the temple of God got to do with idols? So if you have affinity with them, break it off. I'm not saying you fight them. That's not what I'm saying. But you see, don't say because we are the same. He's born again and born again. It's true, we are born again. But we are talking about purpose and destiny here. We're not talking about dying and going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So, he said, God, next verse. Then, Amaziah did what? Separated them to wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. So when he told those guys to leave, they were very angry. But what nonsense is that? You don't want us to go and fight with you. You know why? The amount you give them was not enough. Because if they had gone to one, one they would have gotten more. You don't get what I'm trying to say. He gave them 100 something silver. If they had gone to war, they would have shared the spoils more. So apart from the 100, so the guys were angry. They said, okay, we'll do it for you. So the next thing, to save time, they went back, to some cities in Judah, and they destroyed some of the cities in Judah. Okay, let's keep reading. That's verse 5. Okay. Verse 11. One more verse before we move on. Say, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. So the word of the Lord came to pass from what that man said. So he won the battle. Now, the third thing that occurred is the 2 Corinthians chapter 25, verse 13, because of time. The soldiers he sent away, the soldiers of Israel, they went back, like I said, and they went to attack. It was like what happened to David in Ziklag. They went back to attack his own people. But the soldiers of the army, which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria, even unto Bethoron, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. That's not to make one bitter. That's enough to make one bitter. I follow him. But look at what this guy. This guy did. The Bible didn't say he took such revenge. He just left it. He just left it. He didn't do anything. But sometime later, it was over a period of time. But later, look at what happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 25, verse 14. Then look at Amaziah for God's sake. Now. It came to pass, after a process, I said, that means a period of time. That's why I said, by the time he was 40, the next thing had come to reign in Joash. So by that time, he went to go and find. So anything from around 10 to 15 years when he started reigning, I follow me. He reigned for 20 years. I'm about 10 years to about 13, 14, 15. He has started misbehaving. So let's see what he says in verse 14. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burnt incense unto them. Brethren, the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things in the book of Jeremiah. You went to go and fight somebody. Are you with me? The people you went with, you initially wanted to go with a lot of people, and God reduced the number to show you that it is not by might nor by power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. So you go there with a limited number of people, and God delivered you to these same people. You destroyed them, and then you now took the gods of those that could not fight for them, and now brought them to your own, to back to Judah, to come and be bound before them. So, folks, what happened from the beginning when we read that in the book of, he obeyed the law of Moses, that he did not kill those children, and later on, he numbered the people. You can see a deterioration. And then finally, he now goes to fight, he wins the battle, and he now brings the gods of those people to come and be worshipping them. It's a very sad story. Verse 16. Verse 15. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of their own hand? After thy hand, sorry. It's ridiculous. It sounds foolish. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Why did God have to send a prophet to you? You should have known. You go somewhere, you defeat them, their gods could not deliver them. They now took those same gods and you brought them to come and worship, come and deliver you. So sad. And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, that he shut up. Why should thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God had determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So you see this man's heart deteriorate. Are you following me? Why? He took those idols. You see, idolatry is very terrible thing. Like I said, it's going to end up, whoever practices, if it does not repent, it's going to lead us to destruction of the flesh. Remember Rachel? When Rachel was leaving her father's house, he took her father's idols. And God gave a way of escape for her. When Laban came, Laban said, some of your brothers have stolen my idols. And then Jacob said, it's what? He said, whoever you find it, we will not live again. And you know, he loved Rachel so much. But no matter how much leadership loves you, if you are practicing idolatry, are you following me? Secretly, I from the judgment will come. So you know what happened? When Laban came to the tent, he went to the Leah, he didn't say anything. He went there, he now went to Rachel's tent. He said, sat down on the idol. He said, ah, what's wrong? He said, daddy, you said, I don't have the manner of women, as he was having a menstrual period. So he said, okay, don't worry, sit down. You know what happened? If she had repented, you see, this message for people to repent. Rachel is the type of the body of Christ. Are you following me? Leah too is the type of the body of Christ. Are you following me? So you see, it's a message for people to change and to repent. If you had said, I'm sorry, I was confronted, I'm sorry, that the worst that Jacob would have done is to get angry, he wouldn't have released that curse. Are you following me? And then apart from that, they would have forgotten it and they would have moved on. So it's a message for people that are practicing idolatry, which is covetousness, to repent. But he sat on it. And when he sat on it, you know what happened at the end of the day? Basically, when they were going and they were about, they got to Bethel. No, so Bethlehem. We're about to get to Bethlehem of Ephrathah. Yes, I think so. You find it on the board. Are you following me? The place where Christ was born, the place of double portion. You know what happened? He said he was about to give birth to Benjamin. Then she died. Then she named, you now want to put the blame on the son. He said, Benoni. So his father said, no, it's not Benoni. It's not that you call Benjamin, the son of my right hand. What am I saying? Idolatry will end up, if it's not repented of, will lead to destruction of the flesh. So that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, in very terrible cases, it can lead to hell. We must say it. That's why I said, flee idolatry. Flee fornication. Don't bind the devil. Flee. When you see it afar off, and people sacrifice the golden calf, flee. Don't go there. Don't say we are brethren. Praise the Lord. So, we've seen what happens to this guy in the latter part of his life. We've read, where is verse 16? So, God sent the prophet to him, and he, instead of getting to repent and to submit, you see, when God sent the prophet to him, it was for him to repent too. Nothing that happened here though. Contrast him to, that's how God was talking about David. That David is a plumb blind. When each time they confronted David, they would say, yes, it is me, Lord. And God had mercy. So by God sending this man, the prophet to this man, is God wanted to help him. When Nathan came to him, I said, thou art the man. He said, yes. And then God had mercy. He said, God has taken away your sin. God will have taken away this man's sin. That's why he said that David became a plumb blind for this man and for Saul. Because they didn't repent. So when God spoke to him, you saw what happened. And then he kept on deteriorating. Things got so bad that now, because he defeated the Edomites, he now wants to challenge the king of Israel to battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 25, verse 19. That's why he said, thou seest, this was Joash, the king of Israel, talking to Amaziah. He said, thou seest low, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thy heart lifted thee up to boast, pride had entered. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thy own heart, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee, with all the people behind his followers? Next verse. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Don't change yet. He said they came from the Lord. What does that mean? Because of the dishonesty of this man's heart, God gave him up. That is, God withdrew his mercy. Because he wasn't honest. That is, if he was honest, the gods that could not deliver their own people, you now come to worship, he was dishonest. Very bad. Next verse. Say it was Lord. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face. Both Amaziah and the king of Judah had Bethlehem belonged to Judah. To call long story short, they defeated him. They took him back. You know, that king took him to Israel. You know, took him to Judah, Jerusalem. You know, ransacked the place, took the gold, took the silver, took everything. This is a story where the guy told him, you know, can you imagine somebody who is backsliding telling you a proverb? If would he be king of people that God is not with, is what has not God used to correct him, like a donkey speaking to a man, or like Ahab when he was telling that funny king, he said, boast not thyself that someone that is putting off his, let not him boast that is just putting on his harness, like him that is putting off his harness. You know what I'm saying? That is the harness what you put on when you go and fight. So Ahab was in a backsliding state, and I was telling the other guy, he said, look, why are you boasting? A backsliding person, somebody that is putting off on his harness is just going to fight. You have not even started the fight. Why are you boasting like one who has put off his harness? So can you imagine this guy, this backsliding king, telling the king of Judah? You know what he told him? He told him a parable. He said, the thistle in Lebanon sent a message to the cedar in Israel. Come and marry my daughter. And he said, Lord, so the wild beast rode and tread upon the thistle and destroyed it. Folks, what is that telling us? Don't be unequally yoked, though. Are you following me? What will happen if you're unequal? You have a problem. A wild beast will appear in that relationship. So, what are we saying? He went to these people. They defeated them. At the end of the day, he ran, you know, to, let me see, verse 20. Let's go verse 20. Most of time, 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 25, verse 20. Yes, 20 says, but Amaziah would not hear, for it came of the Lord that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought not after God. So you can see now that Israel was an enemy. God called them enemy. They said they were brethren. Verse 27. 27, because of time. 27. Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. The same destiny of what happened to his father is what happened to this guy. It wasn't God's will. You see, God expected him to learn from the mistake of his father. So that this boy, you see, a cross test shall not come. That thing had already been introduced into the family. So was just looking for something to land on. But the dishonesty of his heart made that same that happened to his father happen to him. Praise the Lord. Now, they ask this question. I say, why did he stop following the Lord? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, I mentioned it. But the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Why? Because of a lack of a perfect and an upright heart. We read earlier on that when he started, they mentioned the problem that will surface later. So we said that a perfect heart is an upright heart that is always willing to do the will of God. Are you with me? Not that he has done it, but it's a hard thing. You determine, I will do it. But once you tell God, I will do it. He keeps saying that to himself. Once the truth is revealed to it, he will do it. That doesn't mean in the process of doing, doesn't make a mistake. But as a just man falls seven times, yes, God will pull him up. Are you with me? So we can see that. And when did he stop following the Lord? When he was no longer constantly always willing to do the will of God. Where do we read Deuteronomy chapter 20, 17, verses 18 to 20? That means there was a time in his life after the first thing he did that I read, when he didn't kill those children of those that killed his father, that he stopped obeying Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 to 20. There must have been a time. Because that verse says that, look, if you do this, your heart will not be lifted up, you know, you will fear the Lord and all that, those that we read. So if those things didn't happen, let God be true, every man a liar. That means along the line, he had stopped obeying Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 to 20. Now, to make it clear, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Deuteronomy 30, 14. Let's put Deuteronomy 30, 14. You see, one thing we need to understand. That's why I thank God for what we have been taught. Our Christianity is not by emotions. What does it say? It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do. Let's read it together, brethren. For the word is very nigh unto thee, where in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It's a spiritual principle we are operating here. For you to do the word of God, it must be heart, mouth, do. Are you with me? If you don't do that, or you deteriorate in doing it, or don't do it as diligently as you ought to, you will not do the word of God. Whatever God has said, the heart will start shifting. Why? Because there is a nature, a residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. And there is a satanic nature in the power in the air. Both of them are working in consonance. So once you stop operating that law we just read in Deuteronomy 30 verse 14, I follow me, gradually the heart begins to shift. It's like a dish of a satellite. You see, when winds are blowing, different things happen. The enemy, the pops talk about Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air, it begins to move that thing. It begins to move it. So gradually, now outwardly, you may look good to everybody, like David, or like Job, like pastors, daughters. You see, when you start committing sins of omission, they will eventually lead to sins of commission. Now, if you look at the life of Job, Job initially was doing what God told him, was keeping this law. But after some time, he started substituting sacrifice for obedience. Are you following me? He started, like they said in the book about Rehoboam, he said he substituted brass for gold. Are you following me? So he stopped keeping this heart do thing. He stopped doing it. So God saw that loophole. So he had to call his arrest his attention by allowing Satan to come. And that terrible affliction that occurred to him. If you notice, God didn't turn his captivity until when he prayed for his friends, when he started keeping spiritual law. But you see, initially, he was doing it, but after some time, I'm sure it wasn't when he stopped doing it that those things occurred. But said, that's why I was saying, he made sacrifices for his children continually. That he was now sacrificing instead of obedience to the law of the Spirit of Christ, so to speak. So and you saw what happened before God corrected him. So God had to allow that. Same thing with David. He said, when kings ought to go to battle, he said, David, he wasn't the first day he didn't go, no problem. But see, he said, David started still. We go to battle when we pray, or when we pray the Lord's life in Christ Jesus. And you know what happened to David? The affliction was very terrible. Are you following me? That will not happen to us in Jesus' name. So that is what God had to do to get his attention. Now, why? Let's look at Saul before we move on. Just mention Saul. We talked about this man, he went to idolatry. What happened to Saul? Saul literally also, if you read about this, we are talking about this thing led to idolatry and then witchcraft. In church now, we have people that are practicing passive witchcraft. That is because they do not obey God's commandments. Are you following me? They do that which is convenient for them. Their heart becomes a portal for Satan to operate through. So that's why you begin to make all these funny prophecies. No, they begin to sacrifice to idolatry, no covetousness. And you see the results come. Meanwhile, it's not God that is giving them. But he gave them the disaster and sent leanness. Not that it's God that gave them, but God just stepped back. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So look at the life of Saul briefly. So Saul initially too, you know, when he became king, he had a very lowly heart and everything. Then after some time, he was recorded that he removed the witches from Israel, land of Israel. But he ended up at the which at end of 1 Samuel chapter 28 verses 9 to 10. 1 Samuel chapter 28 verses 9 to 10. What does it say? 1 Samuel 28. So, and the woman, this was when he was going to fight, you know, after God had rejected him, you know, went to the witch at end of. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul, she didn't know what Saul, you know, had done. How he had cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. The Bible says that, Paul said that if I build again what I have destroyed, then I'm a transgressor. That is why in Proverbs say, hard is the way of transgressors. Next verse. And Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Meaning that the punishment that God meted out to witches was wrong. For him to swear now and say, nothing will happen to you. That is going contrary to what he had preached before. He's going on. A lot of it happening in the body of Christ today. That is what amazes me. I don't want to go there because of time. I see people that have preached, that are on fire for God, then they go back, they start preaching another gospel. The heart is deceitful, but we'll see how we can overcome it. Praise the Lord. So, next verse, because of time, what does he say? Well, now let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. We have already seen that he went there. Now see the consequence. Verse 13. Says, so Saul died. For his was transgression. Hard is the way of those that transgress, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. You know that, you know. And also, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Next verse. And inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Israel. So we can see clearly there that the shifting that is coming in the body of Christ is a result of what we see. Idolatry and passive witchcraft. Praise the Lord. That will not be a purchase. So I didn't mention, I said every sin of omission will lead to sin of commission. So we need to be very careful, brethren, that we make sure that we are always willing to do all the will of God. Now I repeat again, like Pastor has taught over the years, God does not demand immediate perfection, but demands immediate practice. A just man falls 7 times, yet God will pull him up. Are you following me? So understand that. So why is this message very important? We need a perfect and upright heart to keep following the Lord from what we have seen. Because there is no way you can follow the Lord unto the end if you don't have a perfect and upright heart. So I said we need to have a perfect and upright heart to keep following the Lord into perfection and fullness. Into perfection and fullness of Christ. Because a perfect and upright heart will always keep attracting more and more. Say more and more of God's mercies. In particular to be faithful in keeping God's commandments. To rebuild him a temple. It seems long. Let me explain. I said we need a perfect and upright heart. A perfect and upright heart is an honest heart. We define that. Always willing to do the will of God. Are you following me? For us to follow Christ into perfection and fullness, you cannot decide today that I'm not going to exercise myself in having an upright heart again. You can't. You can't stop. Why? We've said it because of a sin nature in the soul and a sin nature in the air. So we can't say I'm going to stop. That I'm okay today. No. I follow him. So, and I said, because a perfect and upright heart will always attract the mercy of God. You know why? 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Paul said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are what? Perfect towards him. Hearing that has done foolishly. Therefore, for mercy we have. But what I want to see there is this. What attracts the mercy of God constantly now is when you have a perfect heart. A heart that is upright, which is a heart that is always willing to do the will of God. So each time God sees it, that Bible says, thought of him that willeth, of him that runneth, on your shared mercy. Say it is God that works in you both to will and to do. So when God sees that you determined to do it, no matter the amount of infirmity you have, that willingness is there. No matter what, it will release a measure of mercy to help you to do it. Are you with me? So we need that. So we can keep on attracting the mercy of God. Now, the specific aspect of the mercy of God that will attract is to be faithful. Are you with me? No, there is mercy to preserve us from being consumed. There is mercy to preserve us from fainting. There is mercy to enable us to be faithful. I forgot what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 7:25. He said, I've been one that has obtained mercy to be faithful. So, why were these guys not faithful unto the end? Why did their heart deteriorate? Because they heart deteriorate because of a lack of honesty of heart. So, there wasn't sufficient mercy to help them. And you notice this one. It just comes to me. You see, the influence of the prince of power of Satan is from the air. So also is the mercy of God from the air. Are you with me? Did you see that? So you see, if you lack or drop in the honesty of heart, those two forces are there. So once one drops, the one that comes from God reduces, then this one increases. It's put from the air. God says, these tender mercies are over all his works. The prince of the power of the air, his own power also is over all God's works. Both of them are there. So if your heart will deteriorate, what happens is there's no middle line. Once it starts dropping, the other starts increasing. The influence that means it begins to give Satan access to begin to shift your will. That will not happen to us in Jesus' name. Now, first, and I said that we need that to be able to keep God's commandments. You know, it takes the mercy to keep his commandments, and also to build him a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 19. This was the prayer that David prayed before he died for Solomon. Unfortunately, Solomon missed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 19. See what he prayed for Solomon. See what he prayed for Solomon. That's the key. He said, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart. We know what a perfect heart is. Now he begins to tell you the reason for that perfect. He said, two. To what? To keep thy commandments and testimonies and thy statutes. So you don't have a perfect heart, you can't keep God's commandments and statutes. and to do all these things, and to what? Build the palace for which I have made provision. For you to build your temple for God to fill the glory, you need a perfect heart. Praise the Lord. So the second point I have is, say, point number two is, God guides all men, sinner and saint, through the uprightness of their heart. See, many times I've discovered these things. Many times, many of us want to make a decision. Maybe the person you want to marry, you know, different things, you want to travel, and then you fast and pray, and then you don't see a vision, you don't hear anything. No, this is a primary God will talk to you. He expects you to exercise honesty of heart. Proverbs 11:3. That's how God talks to everybody. If God knows you know, and then you don't exercise it, then he won't show you any vision. I'm here. Maybe this phone is here. The phone is not my own. I don't have a phone. And I pray to God, believe God for a phone. And the answer has not come. And I come to this place, I see this phone. It's not my own. Should I say, God, should I take it? And I'm waiting for God to say, no, don't take it. What will honesty of heart tell him? What will integrity of heart tell me? I know your friends, you say, God, why should God waste time talking to you on that? I just give a very silly example. But so, Proverbs 11:3, what does it say? The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. But the perverseness of transgressors again shall destroy them. So God expects us to exercise, you know, to look at the situation. And then God doesn't have to speak. You will know, no, I need to be in church at this time. No, I need to be in church. You know, that's why Jesus Christ said. He said something just comes to mind. I just mentioned it when he was talking about the good shepherd and the hireling. He said the hireling will flee. Are you following me? Because he's a hireling. He said, but the good shepherd. So when you see people flee, I will know that the hireling. Why? Because how can you leave the sheep that God has given you? That is enough to make you know that you're supposed to stay. He's honest. You don't need God to tell you. No matter what the circumstances, the problems you are having, are you getting me? You know, no, I can't leave you. I have to stay. Because if I leave now, what will happen to this little flock? I don't know how to do that. You know why? God just drops a word in my hand. That's why Paul said, I have a straight between two, whether to go or to stay. He didn't say God told me, he said, but I will stay. He said, for the fortress, it's better for you. And God left it to make that choice. God said, okay, you want to come and be, then what will happen to these people? You are crying to me like Elijah. He just came to me by the Spirit. So you are crying to me like Elijah. No, God didn't talk to Elijah. He was Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, I am the only one. Yeah, they have killed all the prophets. God didn't talk to him. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He kept on running. You know, God didn't say go back. He said, God fed him. He ran a 3 days journey to Mount Horeb. And then he said, the wind came. He didn't hear God. When you get to that stage, you don't begin to hear God again. Then the earthquake. The wind, which speaks about Passover and Pentecost. I'm on fire. I follow me. But tabernacle say the still small voice. Intimacy. In the temple. Are you with me? So, what am I saying? Why did I say all that? He said the integrity of a man's heart will guide him. I follow me. A highland will flee. You don't need to go and pray. You don't need to fast. As a person, I'm a straight between to whether to depart. And because of that, in locked inside what I just said, is longevity. You say, God, I will stay because of this flock. So I say, okay, leave on. Because you understand purpose. That's why I told Peter. He said, Peter, love is more than this. Feed my sheep. Don't leave purpose. So. Don't leave destiny. Number three. We need a perfect heart to finish well. Luke chapter 8 verse 15. Is the same thing as the first point. But let me just explain. Say, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Say, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So we can see that's the land that brought 100-fold. So how are we going to attain unto this? I put it summarized. I say a perfect heart must be cultivated. Say cultivated and maintained throughout our stay on earth. Say throughout our stay on earth. Say it must be cultivated and maintained throughout our stay on earth here. You can't cultivate it and leave it. You must maintain it whilst you are as long as the prince of the power of the air is still operating in the air, you have to maintain it. You can't go to bed. Like when Abraham, when he did the sacrifice, and God was going to Passover, the Bible says some birds were flying over the sacrifice. Abraham quickly drove them away. You want to stay awake. Thank you, Pastor. You want to stay awake. So you don't only cultivate it, you also maintain it throughout our stay here on earth because of the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, we know this is on there. Now, let you understand this. If you have bread today, maybe like bread, fresh bread, and I take that bread and I leave it somewhere in the corner there. If you come back about a week, what would have happened to the bread? Mold. Did they plant the mold there? That means the influence, there's something in the air. Are you following me? That started growing. Are you following? So also is our heart. So you have to cultivate and maintain. You have to keep on weeding it, making sure, you know, with the things you are going to talk about. Praise the Lord. So the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. If you don't keep hiding the word in your heart, practicing the word, you will sin. But will not sin in Jesus' name. Now let's go at this scripture as begin to round up to see how we'll do this. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. What does it say? My son! How many are God's sons here or daughters? It doesn't matter. God is asking us. He said, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. The heart there is talking about the will, the mind, and the emotions. So why would God tell you to give him what he already has? That means he doesn't have it. So he said, my son, what's God saying? He said, give me your heart. Now, if you don't give me your heart, you cannot observe his ways. That is, therefore, Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. He mentioned the difference. You can't say, okay, I will love God alone with my emotions. No. That's why we are talking about total sanctification that we read earlier on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It has to be total. It has to be total. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin nature, but he understood that was a force from the air. You know, when he was in Gethsemane, he began to pray. He said, Lord, if this cup is willing, he said, Lord, is it not my will? What was he? He was setting his will. When he said, not my will, your will be done. So he set his will to the will of the Father. That was the struggle. He didn't want to go. Though he was his son, yet learned the obedience, Bible says, by the things which he suffered. And how was he able to go at the end of the day? Because I'm talking about the how now. He had to pray for 3 hours. He had to pray to strengthen his will to do the will of God. It doesn't happen like I will just do it. No. He had to set his will. Then he backed it with prayer. Bible says his sweat was like drops of blood. So like I said, they said you cannot follow his ways if you don't give him your heart. Another version says follow. He said, this one says, observe my ways. But another version says, follow. He says that, my son, give me the heart and let your eyes or follow my ways. So if you don't give me your will, your mind, or your emotions, you cannot fully follow his ways. And our destiny is, the Bible says something. Before I go into the details, it just comes to me like a flash again. Hosea chapter 6. We have come to the day that we will know those that follow on to know the Lord. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, we raise up. And we shall live in his sight. Said, then shall we know that if we are going to know, if we follow on to know the Lord, we are going to know in this day. So, daily, how are we going to do this thing? The first thing we need to do is setting of our will to do the will of God. Setting of our will, daily, say daily, to do the will of God. I quoted this quote some weeks ago in the book of Isaiah. Say, if you be willing and obedient, the willingness or the setting of your will comes before the obedience. If you don't set your will, you can't obey. He said, be willing and obedient. I see Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of land. The next verse says something very terrible. 20. But if you refuse to set your will and obey, after you rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Will not refuse. So you set your will. All those confessions pastor has given us. I say, every time we come to pray on Tuesday, we first of all say, I set my will. And that means to pray, you know, effectual and fervent, even that week like last week. Or we say, I set my will to apply completely and pray the principles of perfect. You have to set your will. Say, set your will. Because the will will not be set. You know, the pastor has taught us that will, you know, it can shift. It's like the antenna. When the winds blow on the antenna outside, it can move it. So what you are now seeing will no longer be clear again. Are you with me? So once you set it, you screw it down. Are you following me? Or like that diagram that pastor shows us all the time. When your will is fully open, it allows more of a life of God, more of life to God to enter into your mind. I follow him. So your eye of a sudden is flooded with light. Praise the Lord. So we set out with it. Second thing here is we choose the fear of God, which is honesty and humility. Talks about putting on the old armor of God, the love of God. And then, like I mentioned about logical, battle prayer. Battle prayer is very important too. It's very important. It's because of his same nature. Bible says that his strength is in his navel. We begin to travail. That scripture, Apostle quotes in the book of Job, says that the strength of the behemoth is in his navel. So out of the belly shall flow. We fast of the Apostle was sharing on Sunday. Like that jet force, you begin to pump the life of God through intercession, deep groanings. Deep groanings will travail. That's what Jesus Christ did in Gethsemane. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered off prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to sin for death and was hot in that field. No, you were a son, yet learned your obedience. So we part to prayer. And like we shared on Sunday, join Good Morning Jesus. It's a place for you to practice. Are you with me? Join. Whatever they do, you just practice. You just practice. You know, as you practice, even though you may not do it very well, you may start groaning for some time, speaking in tongues, you may be having a slight headache, so to speak. No, sit down and try and buffet you and discourage. You just keep doing it. Half the time you get used to it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So that's a good avenue. I don't want to talk much about that. We've been taught about battle prayer, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Are you following me? And then the last thing is being diligent in our work in the spirit. Say, being diligent. Now, we're not just walking in the spirit now, but we are being diligent about it. Because I talked about maintaining the heart. We cultivate it, then you maintain it. Part of the cultivation is when you begin to pray. We go by deep, collect unto deep. Bible says, break up your fallow ground. That's when you are traveling. He said, don't sow among thorns. Are you following me? So, when I begin to maintain the maintenance culture, is that when I begin to walk diligently in the spirit. And I said something on Sunday, which I'll repeat as we close. I said, the Lord spoke to me. I said, if you always do the right thing at the right time, you will never do the wrong thing at any time. Let's say it together as we close. If you always do the right thing at the right time, you will never do the wrong thing at any time. Galatians 5, verse 16. Let me give you a scripture for that. Galatians 5, 16. Let's go. This I say then, walk what? In the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go now. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not. Say, you shall not. We need to say this is over and over and over to ourselves. So at any time we find ourselves walking in the flesh, that means at that time we are not walking in the spirit. That means the forces of walking in the spirit is stronger than the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That means good is stronger than evil. Light is what takes the initiative, not darkness. So Bible says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when Jesus Christ said, you know, the spirit is weak, the flesh is weak. But the antidote is to walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That thing will just go away. So I trust that God has spoken one or two things to us. And to encourage us once again, let's determine our hearts to follow the Lord with a perfect heart. That is a right heart that is upright. A heart that is willing always to do the will of God. That will always attract the mercy of God. Which now back it and actually help it to do it. But it's not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but whom God showeth mercy. Let's talk to the Lord as we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. So we now know why we see a lot of idolatry in the body of Christ today. That's the problem. They don't obey Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 17 to the end again. They don't speak the word heart, mouth, truth. They don't. And it's a trap that we must avoid in this end time. It starts by getting to a lot of activity like the Ephesian church. Say, I know your works. Say, but you have left your first love. And you will say, go back and do the first works, which is the work of faith with power. Pastor has taught us. That's it, too. That is the good path that Satan must not take from us in this end time. Let's stand to our feet. I will have no other gods But you alone I will bow to no other God but you.
I lay down,
I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made, and I give you your place, oh Lord.
Let's start again from the beginning. Let's sing as a prayer to the Lord.
I will have no other God but you, oh Lord.
I will bow.
I will bow to no other God but you. Thrones I have made, and I give you your place, oh Lord.
I give myself
as an offering to you,
holy, acceptable,
holy, acceptable.
Pleasing
unto you,
my will and my mind,
my will, my mind,
and
emotions, I lay them at your feet to honor you, my God.
Let's now put one hand on our hearts and raise the other hand to heaven as we've been taught. Let's lay down the idols before God today. God is asking us, my son, my daughter, give me your heart, your will, your mind, and your emotions, and let your eyes observe my ways. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to flee from idolatry and passive witchcraft. By following the Lord with a perfect and upright heart, I come today to receive fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure, to daily set my will, to always be willing to do all of your will, and also to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit we travel, to overcome the influence of the prince of the power of the air, and to daily walk in the Spirit by washing our feet at least 4 times daily at every opportunity and at every temptation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. The entrance of word, give it light on understanding to the simple. They say, Lord, have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all our righteousness.